Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the main event. You are here with Daniel.
And Aaron.
Aaron, thank God we are back to doing these. It's been so long, and we aren't great at drawing for live streams or anything like that. That is not our forte. But previews, where we can actually help some people, are you excited for the second part of the Champions League season?
If I said I was excited, that's probably an understatement. Yeah, I could literally just run in the streets and just shout at the top of my lungs how excited I am. Hope you can sense the sarcasm. It's mostly dread, to be honest. There was at one point there was a one point where I was like, oh, Barcelona are coming in great form. I can't wait to get them in my fantasy team, and then I realized they were knocked out.
Yeah, if you're doing Europa League fantasy, maybe.
I feel like the World Cup is kind of just, I've like forgotten about a lot of
Yeah.
this. Like, it's thrown off a ton. People have come back from the World Cup completely different players, and others have just came back injured. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes. So, Aaron, obviously, I'm not too sure how you've done your own personal research, but for mine, just to keep it even across the board for the teams, I've been looking at their games since January. So since January the 1st onwards, I know that some leagues started it up again in December, but ultimately that's a long time ago anyway. And normally when we do the pre-season group previews, we only kind of look at sort of four or five games in depth anyway. So a lot of these have got sort of up to seven. Some teams have only got four, maybe five, and that's just because of when the leagues restarted, how many games they played. Other than I think it won't even be on this preview. I think it'll be on the next one. But when we get up to Real Madrid, they're playing as we record now, for example. They're in the World Club Cup. So I felt it was prudent to maybe include their starting lineups and stuff so that we can kind of have an idea of who's going to play. That is a big competition. But when it comes to, for example, the FA Cup, I've not included any of that in here. We know that teams rotate. We know that, as sad as it is, the League Cup and the FA Cup just aren't teams as concerns really anymore. The teams that are in the Champions League, certainly. And we know that teams like PSG have been knocked out with their cup. Liverpool have been knocked out of the FA Cup. So we may mention them. But really, when it comes to, you know, how many goals has an X player got in how many games, we're not included in the cup games. Or I'm certainly not. Anyway, Aaron, just let us know if you are. But we are going to start with your. Are they your first team or second team, Aaron, now that Newcastle are in a cup final, Milan?
Milan were always my second team. They were just the first team that got me into football. Yeah, they've not been too great recently, have they?
No. So is one door closes, another opens. So Milan dropped off a cliff. Newcastle started doing fantastically. Since the restart, Newcastle have dipped. Milan dipped and then have got a win this weekend. So that's an improvement, I guess. Aaron, before I go through their terrible restart, how are you feeling about Milan at the minute? What's gone wrong for them?
I think there's a lot to kind of dive into with, there's a lot of pressure, obviously, of course, on the manager, the fact that they were in a title race with Napoli and then have basically handed the title to Napoli. Obviously with the drama in Milan, in Italy, just with Juventus getting deducted points and stuff like that, I feel like, not that AC Milan got kind of were turning their heads at Juventus, but instead they were looking more so at Juventus trying to catch up with them than they were looking ahead to Napoli before that point deduction. They just haven't really got going a lot. The thing is, like, they didn't even have like a ton of stars go to the World Cup. Like, their best players did, but their midfield, you had a lot of, like, obviously Italy didn't go and stuff like that. So you had a lot of players who didn't go, and the ones who did go I think there's only like three or four who actually got game time, like solid game time. So I think overall they just didn't have enough game time. They've came back rusty. I don't think their kind of their second preseason preparation was anywhere near acceptable. Really, really relaxed, and it's really showed. I mean, the manager has been getting a lot of stuff wrong, including not starting Rafa Leao in the must-win game against Inter. Like it's just things like that, like decisions like that, where he's trying to come up with different formations, but then as a result, you're excluding your best player, and so it's just finally a relief that they were able to beat Torino this weekend. Giroud getting the goal, obviously, and Theo Hernandez assist. So almost like normal service resumed, but it there's a lot behind the scenes, and there's a lot kind of I personally blame the coaches. I just don't think their transition from the World Cup for a lot of these players was anywhere near up to the standard of a Champions League team.
Let's have a little look into how badly it's went. They did start okay with a 2-1 win over Salernitana. I'll never be able to pronounce that correctly. I know where it is, though. Then drew 2-2 with Roma, which on the face of it isn't a bad result. Roma are a good side. They then drew 2-2 with Lecce. They were then beaten 4-0 off Roma. They lost 5-2 to Sassuolo. And then they were beaten in the derby against Inter 1-0. But they did win this weekend 1-0. You're right, Aaron. They played the start off the restart with a box standard 4-2-3-1. We're very used to them playing that formation. After the 4-0 against Roma, they changed to a 4-2-3-1, which didn't go well against Sassuolo. They then changed to a 3-5-2 against Inter, and they moved to a 3-4-2-1 against this weekend when they won 1-0. So they have chopped and changed. Their goalkeeper, Maignan, has been injured. There are rumours that he may be back for this game. I'm not sure whether he will or he won't, to be honest. I'd plan that he wasn't, but I think he will be back for the second leg regardless. So Tatarusanu's been in goal. I think in those games, I think he played well this weekend, from what I've heard. But every other game, apparently, he's been absolutely terrible. Calabria has been more or less their starting right back or right wing back, whatever way you sort of want to look at it. Except for this weekend when Salamakers came into it. Salamakers is more often deployed as the right winger. Doesn't really do much. Kalulu and Tomori have been predominantly their centre backs, but they were broken up. Gabia, Kier have came into the mix. Thiaw's came in this weekend. So Tomori's not even nailed by the looks of it anymore. He's sort of really dropped off. Kalulu's the one defender in there that looks absolutely dead set to play. Theo has played all but one. Has played all but one game, I believe. The 4-0 against Roma, he didn't play. He only has one assist since the restart. This isn't the Theo that we know and really, really admire. He's not only not. I mean, it's bit stupid looking at defenders going, oh, do they get goals or assists? But when you see how he's played badly, really badly. Tonali, in my opinion, is AC Milan's best player with Leao. It sort of very, very different players. He's played every game but one. And he has a goal and a couple of assists in those seven games that we've talked about there. But you know, is that really what you want to go for? Diaz, a couple of assists, not pulling up trees, started a lot towards the beginning of the restart, but then Diakite, Kronje just taking some minutes off him. He did start this weekend. Leao, as you say, a bit odd that he got taken out at all. Started off the restart well with two goals and an assist in his first three games, and he's not done anything since. Giroud, since the restart, has two goals and an assist. And I think those French lads, Théo Giroud, probably had a little bit of a World Cup final hangover, maybe. I think that's really fair to say. I think mentally, how draining that must be. It's just something that I personally can't comprehend. Losing a World Cup final, and I appreciate Giroud's won one before, but Theo hasn't. I still just don't think it helps. Origi's sort of found himself with a few minutes recently. He's got one goal in his few appearances in the last few games. One thing to note, sorry, I have written this down, for Tomori is he's injured, which is why he wasn't getting a game. He's expected back at the end of February. Sorry, my bad with that one. Florenzi isn't back until the end of March. And Benacer, who normally partners Tonali in the middle, he is also injured. He's expected back sometime in February. Not sure when, which is why that midfielder next to Tonali is constantly sort of being changing between Krunic and Pobega. Aaron, these are your team. Are you going to pick any of these players?
No, I was. After the World Cup, when I was like, right, let's have a look and see kind of what my team could look like after the fixtures and stuff like that. I was potentially going to get a few of them, but just because of their price points, really. But in terms of recent form, like the first leg being at home is an advantage, especially with Tottenham's most recent result. But Antonio Conte knows Milan very well. He played against them with Juventus, you know, and recently with Inter. He knows a lot of these players as well, very well. And he knows the system. And I guess that could also work in Milan's favour, is that they play teams who use Conte's system all the time. There's quite a lot of Italian coaches who use a similar system, but just don't have as much intensity as Conte has, which is what makes him successful. And it's also Conte... in terms of the Champions League, will he bottle it again? Or, like, and there's a lot of question marks, but in terms of all these question marks, we know that whenever we ask too many questions in this type of game, it's normally a game that we avoid and normally wait for more information. So unless we get that, I think the only advantage is that we see the lineup, but in terms of this match, there's too many questions, and every player I think in this match is a risk.
Yeah. I think one thing as well is it's not just this match. If you don't have a wild card, you've got whoever goes through, if they even go through, you've got them for the next game. And do you want Milan and Spurs players? I think there's obviously one outstanding player from this game. It's not really secret or, you know, a hot topic or anything, a hot take. So we'll move into Tottenham. Pretty standard 3-4-3, or however you sort of look at it, with how they position the 3-4-2-1. Lloris was the goalkeeper. Fraser Forster now is, with Lloris being injured. We don't expect him to be back for the first leg. No, Jeff's going to be back for the second. Matt Doherty was doing an outstanding job at right wing back for them. Well, he wasn't. But he's been sold. Emerson's came in, did an outstanding job at right wing back for them. Well, he hasn't. And then Pedro Porro since came in, and he had the debut from hell today. They've been all over the shop, Spurs, since the turn of the year. Been beaten 2-0 off Villa, beat Palace 4-0, lost 2-0 to Arsenal, lost 4-2 to Man City, beat Fulham 1-0, beat Man City 1-0, and have lost 4-1 to Leicester. A bit of a crazy team. Romero has been a mainstay in that defence, although with the red card against Man City, I think that has had, you know, a lot to contribute towards today's result. Longley has sort of been in and out, swapping with Davies, although Longley, I just don't think is quite as good as Davies, to be honest. Dyer has been pretty much a mainstay. He just missed that Aston Villa game. Perisic has been predominantly played on the left wing, or was the left wing back. Sessegnon not really getting many minutes. He's got an assist Perisic in his last seven games, like that matters, six games. The issue is next to Højbjerg, Benton Kerr is so important. He got injured again today. Don't know how long he's going to be out for. It looked bad, but sometimes things can look worse than they are. The since rotate, but before the Benton Kerr sort of return, Bissouma, Skip, Saar all sort of did the hokey cokey with that position. Bissouma's now injured, I think. I think I've read somewhere that Bissouma's injured, so please double check that. Gil started the first couple of games of the new year before Kulusevski's came in. One goal and five. No assist, not tearing up any trees. Son, for whatever reason, has played every game. He's got one goal, one assist in seven games. But Harry Kane, four goals in seven games. Couple of did he get the assist? Didn't he get the assist moments as well? He's the penalty taker. And against this Milan defense, especially if they have Maignan still missing, Tomori still missing, he's got to be the one player that we'll look at. And at his price point, I think it's okay because you can, if they do go out, if they do go through, you know that you can get anyone in for him. So I also think obviously you want some players from early games just so that you have the opportunity to substitute them out. And he's just one of the outstanding strikers. He's someone that will get you goals. It's not like the group stages anymore. The group stages, the argument against Harry Kane is he'll probably only get one goal a game. He's not really captainable. When you get to the knockouts, every point matters in that sense. Like one goal, because you are playing against much better opposition than in the group stages, it totally changes the dynamic between, getting a 6-pointer, or if he gets player of the match, a 9-pointer is what you would get. And that's obviously you can score from outside the box as well. He is on pens, he wins pens. So Harry Kane is very much in my thoughts, despite, getting beat 4-1 today. Because ultimately, they've been beaten, they got beat 2-0 at Aston Villa, then came back and won 4-0. They were beaten 2-0 and 4-2 and came back and got a couple of 1-0. So they're really Jekyll and Hyde, but I can't map anything to what performance they're going to put in, unfortunately. It's just that Harry Kane can score goals, basically. What do you think about Tottenham?
So I had a quick look, which is why I was just like looking down at the corner of my camera there. But
How very dare you, ignorant fool.
depending on how I edit it, am I just going to be staring you down like as you're
I
talking?
hope so. Please put you in the top corner, please. Like you're staring at us from the top rope, like The Rock.
but it looks like Bissouma, Højbjerg and also Bentancur are all going to be missing. I think that now that we have all that information, it also looks like Tomori is going to be fit from what I've just read there. We'll
Okay.
wait and see. Obviously, we'll see the lineups. But I think that opens the door for potentially Tonali to almost run the midfield a little bit more, have a little bit more freedom. Depends who Tottenham's midfield is even there. Because what the only downside is if Tottenham don't have a solid midfield, the deeper Harry Kane comes to get the ball. And it's one of the biggest bugbears when you have Harry Kane is you do not want him in midfield. Like really, really good range of passing. He's good at having a team, but for fantasy, you're like, get in the box. What are you doing there? I don't know
Yeah.
if you have that same feeling whenever you watch him.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be really, really interesting, especially with the fact that both teams seem to be, Milan are now moving towards three at the back as well. So it's going to be an even formation. In terms of Tottenham players, Son could obviously do well. He seems to do well in these big pressure matches. But again, it's just that kind of that extra 5 million that we have in this round almost like opens up that spot for choice. And with other teams like Napoli and Frankfurt and other teams that we just need a little bit of, It opens the door for a bit more premium options because we have them budget, good budgets. So, Son and Kane, I think that's always been the case. But I think we need to also remember that Perisic is very, very comfortable playing against Milan. He's also comfortable playing in the San Siro, having played there for most of his career. And with the pace of the game in Italy, I think he could also have good performances, especially if it's someone like Salamaca's at right wing back again.
So take your heart out of it, because obviously you want Milan to win. What do you actually think is going to happen? A in the first leg, and B, who do you think is going to go through? I know that's a big ask without
Yeah,
knowing.
I think Tottenham will go through over the two legs. Just with, I think Milan's priority right now is to just win, get back into winning positions and not drop out the top four race in Italy, which they're a massive danger of doing. That what was a given at the start of the season is now, we need to at all costs. And so I think if it meant them finishing the top four at the end of the season, I think they would throw in the towel at Tottenham. And so, but with Tottenham, it's kind of all it's almost like they're in a similar position. It's almost like Tottenham are not, I mean, even though the top four wasn't a given for them, it was their expectation, especially if they hadn't known how much of a drop off Liverpool and Chelsea would have. So very similar teams in terms of ambitions and what they're aiming for at the moment, but I think Tottenham are just a better team currently at the moment.
Okay.
Less, I think it'll be a draw for the first match, either a 0-0 or a 1-1, and then Tottenham will bring it back to their players and win and go through. That's what I think.
So if it's nil, so obviously if we think it's going to be nil nil, for example, my recommendations would be Perisic for Tottenham and Calabria for Milan, personally. Do you know why Calabria didn't play today?
I don't, because I don't think many people know Pioli's formations at the moment.
Yeah, if you
I
were,
literally just think he's been moving stuff around to
yeah,
just try and get something that works.
if Calabria's playing, I'd choose Calabria over Theo, save the money, pump it somewhere else. Calabria's been outperforming Theo since the restart. Tonali, if you're looking for a more budget midfielder, again, as you said, run the game, and then strikers, it would just be Kane. I know that Liao is obviously really good, but it's just using up a forward spot on Liao. If it was a midfielder, I think he's again a bit of a no-brainer in everything. You just pick him for his price. It's what, 7.5, whatever he is. And he is a midfielder. That's the frustrating thing. He's a left-sided midfielder slash winger. There's no reason why he should be a forward in a million years. I agree, by the way. I think this is going to be a draw. I do think it'll be a score draw, though. I think it's going to be 1-1. And the only player I'm considering for me personally is Harry Kane. That being said, I think if Milan are going to do anything, I think Tonali is going to be the most important player on the pitch for Milan.
He's the second biggest point scorer at the moment for if you look at the Milan team. Giroud with his late group stage heroics, but Tonali surprisingly ahead of everyone else in
Yeah.
terms of points. So
He's absolutely amazing. I know that obviously we being Newcastle fans, there's been lots of sort of debates about central midfielders and who we should buy, etc. Tonali should be top of that list, probably. I think he's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know whether he'd come, but I just think he's a phenomenal player. PSG versus Bayern München.
where
What
do
a
I
shit
start
show
with this
this
one?
is. What a shit show this is. So let's start with the injuries first of all. Kimpembe, we don't know when he's going to be back. Mbappe apparently is out for the first leg. It's not the first time I've heard that and a player's played in the first leg. Is it worth having him? Obviously, if he's going to play, maybe, especially against Bayern. Sanchez, like you care, Renato Sanchez is, we don't know when he's going to be back. Messi picked up an injury. He's expected back February the 13th, couple of days. So he should be back for it, should be. And I've heard of FPL Rossoneri that Verratti's out, but I just couldn't find that anywhere. I'll be honest, I didn't actually look that hard. But Verratti's out, that is massive. And I think obviously with how their results have gone recently, so PSG are out of their cup. They got beat midweek. They were beaten today, actually. I don't have any of the information. Just I did this last
They were beaten
night.
by Monaco at
Yeah,
top of the
3-1.
table. Yep, 3-1. Yeah,
Do you know who scored for PSG?
Emery, Zaire Emery.
Yeah, he's got a couple of goals here, I think. Trying to find him on my little list here. Yeah, he came off the bench and got a goal against Montpellier. That might actually just be it, to be fair. But they've not been great, PSG. So they got beat 3-1 off Lens. They beat Angers 2-0. They got beat off Rennes 1-0. They drew with Reims 1-1. They beat Montpellier 3-1. They beat Toulouse 2-1, and then they got beat off Monaco 3-1 today. Donnarumma is officially the goalkeeper. Yay. Now, especially now that Keylor Navas has gone to Nottingham Forest. Mukiele and Hakimi have shared roles at right back. It's been a bit of a strange one. They've changed formations quite a bit, PSG. Started with a 4-3-1-2, moved to a 3-4-2-1 for a few games. Then they played a 4-2-3-1, then a 4-1-3-2. And then against Toulouse, they played a 4-4-2 diamond. I don't know what they played today. So your guess is as good as ours, what that formation's going to be. Is this another one where we get to see the team, though? Get to see the, yeah, perfect. So we'll get to see the team gratefully. Mukiele had two assists in his three starts. Hakimi has two assists and a goal in his three starts. So I think Hakimi is pretty clear, to be honest. I think Hakimi was getting a rest after the World Cup. Had a really good World Cup with Morocco. Ramos has played every game. Marquinhos has played every game. Then, depending on the formation, I mean, Danilo's played a lot of games, plays in midfield. He's played left-sided centre-back, obviously plays in that holding role in midfield. Not someone that you want, really, even for ball recoveries. Left-back has been swapping around. So, Hakimi's played at left-back. We've had Ruiz play at left back. Mendes is back to left back. Bernat has played at left back for a few games. So I think the left back position is one to stay clear of. Even if you get them for this game, you might not get them for the next one. That's the thing. Sometimes it can be a trap seeing team sheets. Like imagine you see a Man City team sheet, you think, yes. But then a week later, you're like, no, I see him at Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
You just think it can be a trap. The boys that pretty much everyone cares about. Mbappe, Messi, and Ekitike, and Neymar. Obviously, Messi missed a couple of games just purely because of getting back from the World Cup. He's probably still hungover, bless him. He's got 3 goals in 3 league games since coming back, so still great. But I don't know if anyone's seen his actual performances. He's walking around. He is
That's what he
honestly.
does. That's what Messi does now, though. He doesn't need to do all that running when you've got Neymar and Mbappe next to you, though.
Yeah, because they're
And
typically high pressure.
it's the French football.
So it looks like he's retired already, to be honest. I think the issue is trying to get back up again. Back up again. And it's not a doubt his greatness, obviously. Obviously, I'm not ever questioning his greatness. It's just, do I want him for fantasy against Bayern Munich, basically, is the question I'm trying to answer. And probably not. Ekitike, because Mbappe has been injured for a bit, he's sort of been in and out. Ekitike has actually got 2 goals and an assist, but he looks like Bambi on ice. He looks like a really, really, really skinny, younger version of Chola Ameobi when he first started, and it was just, you never quite knew what was going to happen with him. So not pulling up trees, and as soon as Mbappe is back, he is out of that team. So do not get caught in that trap at all. Mbappe is obviously someone that I would like to have if he was fit. Not that he's scored or got an assist since the restart, I don't think. I don't think he's done anything. Neymar has one goal. This is just typical Neymar. We say this every year on this podcast that he's a half job man. He turns up for the first half of the season. You will not see him for the second. He shows up for the first 45 minutes of the game. You will not turn up for the second 45 minutes. And it's for Brazil.
Surprising that he's not injured. Normally he's injured around February. He's got a schedule.
Yeah, but it's his sister's birthday this month. You've plenty of time for it, Aaron. Plenty of time for it.
Yeah.
To join in those celebrations. Bottom line with PSG, if it's not Hakimi against Bayern Munich, I'm not that interested, to be honest, for the price and for how poorly they're playing. If you are going to have one, it has to be Messi. Just has to be. Because even though he is walking about, it's still Messi. He still score. His performance against Marseille was pretty distressing. Like, it wasn't even like he was walking around and then came alive. It was he received the ball about six times and just didn't move. It was like he was playing netball. And then it wasn't like, you know, he played some unbelievable pass or saw something that humans don't. Just passed it back to where he took a touch, had a look, passed it back to where he got it from. In the space to run into. So again, he is a human. He has a brain. I don't know how much of a World Cup come down that is, whether it's he's just not interested anymore. He's won everything. But then obviously it comes to the Champions League, it's Bayern Munich. And he just turn it on again. He's a player that I'm petrified about because I'm not going to own him. The strikers are at a premium, our favourite saying on this. What's your thoughts on PSG?
I agree in terms of Messi and Hakimi being the only players I was looking at. I wasn't going to get multiple Paris Saint-Germain players. And I think that just with all the injuries that we now know of, I don't think that that's a team that I was going to go for. I've just checked my team and I do have Hakimi in it and I had Messi in it, but I've still got money left over, so that can easily become a certain wing back on the other team. So
you're getting Benjamin Pavard?
Yeah.
Alphonso Davies, you finally doing it?
Davies, of course, we know his attacking potential. But no, just in terms of Paris Saint-Germain, I think injuries have just hit them at the wrong time. The World Cup has not been nicest to their players in terms of, I mean, they had great World Cups. It was just not good mentally since, especially when it's hard to get excited for the French league. So I think the Champions League is going to be their closest. They're going to get to Champions League, closest they're going to get to that. So in terms of, I mean, Bayern Munich are the ones I'm looking for just because of that. And I know they have got injury concerns of their own, but I think they're in a lot stronger position and in a lot better form. So I'll let you go for that.
Yeah, I think the difference is that they're a lot more equipped to deal with the injuries, and the injuries aren't really in centre midfield, where, you know, if Verratti's out, and then again, Mbappe is their best, Mbappe, Messi, whatever, forget about it. He's the best player. Whether you agree, disagree, is fine. They're on a par with each other. Whereas, if you look at Bayern's injuries, Lucas Hernandez is injured for the season. They have, obviously, at left-back, Davies. They can play Cancelo, who they've just brought in. They can play, if they can play a back three, so it's not too much of an issue if they want to play with wing-backs, which they have done. They can equally, for Neuer, they've just bought Sommer, who's a really good keeper. So that's that sorted. Mane should be back not too long, but, I mean, they've got Coleman, Musiala, Sané, Gnabry, Müller. Mazraoui, we're not sure when he's going to be back, but again, plays both sides. On the other side, Pavard, Cancelo, you know, they've got cover everywhere. I think De Ligt could arguably do a do a job at left back if he needed to. So they have cover where there's issues, and they've got a really strong midfield with Kimmich and Goretzka now being back and getting played into fitness. Their start to this year, though, has been absolutely dreadful. Dreadful. So they drew 1-1 with Leipzig, which is fine. Drew 1-1 with Cologne. Got beat 2-0 off Eintracht Frankfurt. Yes, that same Eintracht Frankfurt that we've been slagging off for 4 months. They then drew with Wolfsburg 1-1. So that's 4 games. They've not got a win. They've got 3 points from 4 games. They finally won 3-0 today against Bochum. Yes, we know. We don't know where that is either. So it's concerning. And ultimately, a little, like, it's a little bit frightening when you think, well, actually, maybe Messi would do a job against these. If we look at the teams, they've been playing a 4-2-3-1. Nagelsmann then decided to switch up to a 4-1-4-1, went back to a 4-2 after the loss of the game, went back to a 4-2-3-1. And then today they played a 3-1-4-2 and they got the 3-0 win. But again, quality of opposition. So we've got another team that likes to rotate formation, players. It is a nightmare. Pavard has started 4 of the 5 games, whether that be at right back or centre back. Stanisic has came in for one of those games, and Cancelo's played both right back and left wing so far. He's got an assist from right back and he did nothing from the left wing. De Ligt's played every game, so De Ligt looks pretty nailed. Davies has played most games. He's got one assist in his 4 starts, but again was dropped in favour of Cancelo. And when Cancelo went off, Coman came on and Coman got a goal today. Kimmich, our favourite player, Aaron. Kimmich didn't play today because he got a red card in the 1-1 draw with Wolfsburg. That being said, he also got an assist in that game and he has got a goal in the 1-1 draw with Cologne. Goretzka has been very hit and miss. He's not actually got any attacking returns, but his performances have been a bit hit and miss. Sané has played every game in various positions, whether that be through the middle or on the right wing. He has 1 goal in 5 games, which isn't very good. Muller missed the first couple of games. He's then sort of came back into it. He has 2 goals and an assist. So we're back on this Muller hype train. He's a forward. Is that what we want? Probably not. If he was a midfielder, I think maybe. But he has actually been playing as a forward. So I think it's fair. Musiala, the golden boy, played every game. 1 goal and 1 assist, though, in 5. However, they have came in the last 2 games. So it looks like he might be just getting into a bit of form at the right time. Gnabry, again, in and out, played multiple positions. He has 1 assist in those first 4 games, not that he played them all, but today he did win a penalty and scored the penalty. So if Gnabry's on the pitch, it looks like he's taking the pens. Now, I don't know whether that'll be the case if Kimmich is on the pitch, because Kimmich wasn't on the field today, but that's all we've got to go off, basically. So that's interesting that he's the one that's going to take the pens if he's on the field. And Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting has played every game. He did come off the bench, though, for the 1-1 draw for Wolfsburg. But he's got a goal out of all of those many appearances for Bayern Munich. So again, not an option. But the headache is Kingsley Coman. Didn't play the first two. Played in the 2-0 defeat to Frankfurt, did nothing. Played against Wolfsburg, did score. And he's came off the bench against Bochum and won 3-0. I do actually need to check. Can you do me a favour, though, Aaron? Can you quickly check just to see if that Wolfsburg score was 1-1? I've got a feeling it wasn't, you know.
The most recent one, I've got that Bayern Munich winner 4-2.
Yeah, I don't know why I've got 1-1 written for that. I've got all the right, everything else correct on that.
So Coleman scored twice, Muller, and then Musiala with a Kimmich red card.
Yep, got it. Yeah, so Coleman 2 goals, Muller with a goal, Musiala with a goal, Kimmich assist, Alphonso Davies assist, Pavard assist, and Cancelo assist. So apologies, Bayern Munich fans, for getting that one wrong. It's obviously where I've copied and pasted it. left the 1-1 in there. I was looking going, there's four goals here, not one. Does make us feel a little bit better about getting them in, though. So it's typical Bayern. Started off a bit slow. They played themselves into a bit of form. They've now started scoring a few goals. They're still conceding goals. I know they kept a clean sheet today, but that's 1 in 5. Broken clocks right twice a day. Are you going to go for any of these? Do we know who's going to start?
We get to see the lineup, so that's a positive. I think. So I was going to go for Cancelo, but that's based on what side he plays on. If he lines up on the Bayern Munich right side and he's starting to target alongside Gnabry, that Paris Saint-Germain left, I think that that's going to be really, really good and really favourable for them. I think that's a target, like an area that they should look to exploit, knowing that Neymar playing on that side won't track back. They don't have a solid starter there. And so if I see that Cancelo is starting on the right side, he is going to be one of my premium defenders, just with how forward he plays. He is expensive though, but and I am really like debating between about Kimmich.
Really? That's interesting.
Just for the safety and the, like kind of the safe floor of points that he gets. He is quite highly owned at 17%. But like you got 4 points against Plzeňa, but in all the other matches, it's 6. And that's just such a safe floor, which I can kind of just count on. So it's going to be a substitution that I hopefully will not have to make. In terms of that, I know I play quite safe compared to a lot of other players, and that makes it sense with my ranks. But it's just something I'm thinking about, especially because Cancelo and Kimmich are the same price. But with Kimmich potentially being on penalties, I think that ups it just a bit.
Right, come on. It's not what we're here for. We're not here for these boring Kimmich picks. Gnabry, Sané, Musiala, Koeman, go.
Musiala.
Musiala, one goal, one assist, at least in the last two games. Kind of not interested in you in a 3 goals in 2 games, Kingsley Coman?
The thing that... With Musiala, the bit that makes me want to go for him is that he's a million cheaper than Coman. And I just think with Verratti potentially not playing, Coman has never had like consistent big goal streaks. Like if I had to rank them, Musiala, then Sané, because we know he's missed a Champions League, Gnabry, then Coman. So I've actually got Coman last.
Wow. He's not last on my list. I think he's joint with Musiala. Depends on who starts. Like you say, we get to see the team sheet. I'll see who starts. If Coman's starting when Hakimi's bombing up that right-hand side and will be nowhere to be seen, then yeah, absolutely. That being said, I think if Sané is going to be on the right, he could have a lot of joy against whoever their left-back may be. The boys in the middle, I think, are going to have a much harder time against Marquinhos and Sergio Ramos.
I was just trying to remember if Cancelo and Sané were at Man City at the same time. I think they just missed each other.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, but okay. I was just saying they used to play in each other before this team. So if they're both tag team in that right side.
Tag team. I think obviously the issue of Bayern is they don't have a clear out-and-out goal scorer, and Mane hasn't been tearing up trees this season.
Shooting more team against his old team.
Yes. not going to waste a forward spot on him. I think Muller would actually be the one to go for if he wasn't a forward, but he is. So I do think, I actually think it's going to be one of the wise players that's going to get more joy. I think as good as Musiala is, he's playing against Ramos, Marquinhos, and maybe Danilo sitting in front, could be someone else sat in front. They have changed that player in there a few times. But no Verratti means I don't think PSG are going to have a lot of control in midfield. So I think Ramos and Marquinhos will probably have a bit of joy against Musiala if they play two in there. Whoever's playing right and left, I think those are the two to go for, the ones that are playing out wide. I think they're going to be the ones going to have the most space when PSG's fullbacks just aren't used to having to be able to defend. What do you think the score's going to be?
I think Bayern Munich will win 3-1.
That's big. I think Bayern will win 2-1. We'll jump into Bruges versus Benfica. This isn't going to take long, let's be honest. Bruges are rubbish. I have got these ones right. They've been beaten 3-1 off Genk. They drew with 1-1 with Anderlecht. Drew 1-1 with Sint-Truiden. Drew 2-2 with Charleroi. Beat ZW 2-1. Drew 0-0 with Antwerp. And drew 1-1 with R Union SG this weekend. So they have won one game since this year, but Scott Parker's in charge now. Do we trust Scott Parker against Benfica? No. No, I don't. Looking at their players, Jutkala has been injured. I think he still is injured. He came back for one game, got subbed off after 17 minutes. Scott Olsen is injured. In these games, he's only got one goal anyway, no assists. The player or players that have stood out, if you do care, are Vanecken Skywalker. He has 3 goals and 2 assists in these games. And none of them were penalties, which is pretty good. The one penalty that was won by Noah Lang was taken by Noah Lang. Meyer, the defender, left back, he's got a couple of assists, but do you want him still against Benfica? Probably not. Stay away from them. I do you have anything to say? I kind of just want to present you, Bruges, even though they kind of have been our team over the last few years.
I mean, with Bruges, they did amazing to get to this point. To get through the group, our hearts were with them.
Yes.
I think
they fell off the cliff as well, didn't they? Like, they started really well and fell off the cliff.
Yeah, I think with Bruges, they'll have a good chance in this first leg at home. So if you do want to go for any players, just because, if you just wanted to, just for the fun of the game, Bruges would be in the first leg. But Benfica, the players that I do have, that I've had kind of throughout the group stage, I'm thinking about keeping, even though they got a lot of people taken away from them in the transfers. So it's definitely a Benfica are the top, are the favourites, definitely.
Yeah, let's just talk about Benfica. So they're doing well. Beat Portimonense 1-0. Drew 2-2 at Porto, which is obviously reasonable in the Champions League team. Beat Santa Clara 3-0, beat Pacos Ferreira 2-0, beat Arouca 2-0. The most recent game they won 3-0, not sure who that was against. Vlachodima is still the goalkeeper. Really good option against Bruges. I think absolutely must-have choice for your goalkeeper for his price. Just to let everyone know, these guys play 4-2-3-1 every game. Nice and easy. Bar's the right back, plays every game. He's won a penalty and got one goal in these 6 games. Silva's one half the centre back partnership. Otamendi's the other. Rodriguez is the backup centre back. Grimaldo is the left back. He has one goal and 2 assists. I think he has to be in everyone's team against Bruges. And I think he's a captaincy choice. I really think he's a captaincy choice. Florentino is one half of the central midfield partnership with, unfortunately, Enzo, who is now gone to Chelsea. Enzo had a couple of assists in those games. So now Chiquinho has moved into midfield with Florentino. João Mário has played every game. And what a role he's on, by the way. So he has 7 goals in these 6 games. And only one of them has been a penalty, which is handy. He's actually got 4 goals in his last 2, 5 in his last 3. So, and he's also got 1 assist. I think João Mário, for that mid-price midfielder, needs to be in most people's teams. He's certainly in mine. He's, him and Grimaldo absolutely nailed. Then it's where it gets a little bit trickier. So on the left, I am so sorry for butchering this name, Aurnes. Don't know how to pronounce his, that name. Apologies. He's got 1 goal, 1 assist. He plays on the left, as I said, with João Mário on the right. But in the middle, that's been changes. So Chiquinho has played 1. Rafa Silva has only played 1. Draxler's played 1 out there. He's played the first game of the new year on the left and hasn't been since there since. Neres has played the last 2 games through the middle with 2 assists. So I think Neres is most likely going to be the one to play. My guess would be João Mário, Neres, and the man whose name I can't pronounce is the 3. That being said, Ramos, obviously Gonçalo Ramos, stalwart up front. In those first 4 games, he got 3 goals and he won a penalty as well, which obviously gets you points in this game. But the last 2 games, Guedes, who I believe is on loan from Wolves, he started the last 2 games up front. He has an assist. Musa occasionally comes off the bench, got a goal, couple of score. Guedes also made his debut on the right wing, coming on for João Mário a good few games ago and got a goal there as well. I think trying to pick the bones out of this, you're probably going to want double, if not triple Benfica against Bruges. Would you disagree?
I mean, if Bruges get anything, it's going to be from this first leg. It makes them transfers that you don't need to make for the second leg, so that's a positive. I think in terms of, it's just this first leg, I do think that
You're overthinking this, surely.
Bruges upset a lot of teams.
They've not been upset in anyone in the Belgian league. They've not been upset in Sint-Truiden or Charleroi or ZW. They don't even have words. They're just initials.
Are you disrespecting these teams?
Yes.
The great. I'm kidding. I am overthinking it. But I guess it depends on how, like, the positive is that Benfica, because they play on the second day, so they play on the Wednesday this time, when it comes to the next match day, they'll be playing on the Tuesday, so we'll see the team sheets as well. So it makes them safer bets than the people who are playing in that second week. But just the form that Benfica are on, something that I don't know, we've not really touched on it, but on the app, you can kind of see what someone's domestic form is now. So that's if you click on a player and it'll show underneath their price point, like a star rating on their domestic form, and you go on view details, it'll actually show you what they would have got points for in the Champions League. In their domestic team. It doesn't have ball recoveries, unfortunately, but it has goals.
You probably want.
It has goals, assists, minutes played, yellow cards, red cards, and penalties earned. And it gives them a 5-star rating on how good they've been performing in the domestic form. So the app, it's progressing each time. But when you look at Benfica, João Mário, obviously 5-star. Grimaldo, 5-star. Otamendi, 4.5-star. Florentino, who I think a lot of people have, 12% owned, 3-star. So you probably want to get rid of him for someone else.
It's because he's 4.5 million, isn't it? Or was.
Yeah, he still is. So I think it's people like that who are quite interesting. But I think that's a nice little feature. It's something that I've used between, like, within the same team to kind of make a decision.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to go for three, if not four. We'll have four. I've got, at the minute, Otamendi, Grimaldo, and João Mário. I would not hesitate to have Neres or the left winger that I can't pronounce the name of, or Osne.
Think that, like, so obviously we know that other people kind of around in us in our mini leagues, they'll also be getting Benfica players in. So do you think it's maybe too early to start to think of how, like, for example, you're going for three? We know that most people have, like, a Benfica defender. Do you think, like, in order to get ahead of people in the mini league, because we know that's going to get tougher and tougher to climb ranks, do you think it's, like, worth getting, like, two Benfica defenders and stuff like that?
100%. I think where teams are strong, I think doubling up, you're not going to gain anything by having Grimaldo, I don't think. I think he's going to be maybe the highest owned defender in the game. Maybe.
I still think someone from the Premier League will get that.
Yeah, well, but I know, but what? Well, you're going to go for a Tottenham, Chelsea, Liverpool, or Man City defender?
Ake, potentially.
So, I think people will look at the points that people have got and see that Grimaldo is an absolute tank and go for him, to be honest. And if there's that form button on there, like three goals and an assist. Sorry, one goal and three assists. In six games, like he's captain. I think he's that good. Especially like if it's a Wednesday, captain him, then he can change it for the games following.
So just to
Ramos, obviously, is I don't want to go anywhere near them anyway, because I don't know who's going to play. But yeah, I think João Mário, Grimaldo, and Otamendi's a ball recovery machine.
Yeah, also a yellow card machine, but. Cancelo, 54% owned, is currently the most owned defender. And the next lowest is Alphonso Davies with 19%. So that's quite a drop.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe Cancelo will be the highest.
But I think Ronaldo will be second because he's only 2% behind Davies. Yeah. But it goes to show that, kind of we joked about it before, but Davies is, people pick him all the time.
I don't understand why. What's the score going to be, Aaron?
Seeing like I said it before, I'm going to go with Bruges 1, Benfica 2.
I'm going to go 3-0 Benfica, up the Eagles. So on to the next game, Dortmund versus Chelsea in Dortmund. Dortmund are looking exciting again. They've won every game in the Bundesliga since the start of January. They are playing different formations, like every other team. Started off with a couple of 4-2-3-1s, moved to a 4-5-1. They have then since been playing a 4-1-4-1. They've beaten Augsburg 4-3. They beat Mainz 2-1. Leverkusen 2-0. Freiburg 5-1. And Bremen today, I believe it was, 2-0. The last time I checked. Kobel is in goal. Ryerson has played the first couple of games at right back, actually got a goal, then played left back, and then has been taken out of the team. I'm not too sure what's happened there. Wolf has since played the last three games at right back. Schuler has played the last four games at centre back, getting one assist. Schlotterbeck has played every game, and check this out, he's got two goals and two assists in five games from centre back. Beast. Guerrero has played four of the five games at left back. He's got four assists in his last two games. I fancy some of that. Then is where it gets a bit confusing, just because, of course, it's confusing. It's Dortmund. I'm actually going to skip all of the midfield and go the forward area first. So Mukoko was playing initially because of Haller's injury, and not injury, his illness. With testicular cancer, He came off the bench and got an assist in the 2-1 win against Mainz. He then started the next two games, got one goal. Moukoko started today. So we're still not sure whether Haller is going to be starting. Interesting if he is, though. And I think more than anything, it's
He's
just Messi's.
currently not in the game.
I think it's
I
more than
think we
anything,
have
it's
to.
nice to see him recovered, really.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just, it was great. Like, sometimes things are just too good where, well, I don't know what the exact phrase is, but like you just can't write the script for it. Like when he scored on World Cancer Day and stuff like that,
Yeah.
you're just like, yeah,
Written
that's
at the
just,
stars.
yeah, definitely. I am interested to see how much he'll potentially come in at. I'm guessing over the next few days, the Apple update with once people have published their updated Champions League squads. But yeah, there's a few interesting players in here and interesting like starting, but sorry, you were on a flow with the midfield and stuff like that.
So, midfielders. Emre Can's played the last few games. I wouldn't go anywhere near him. Bellingham has played four of the last five in various positions, getting one goal and two assists. I don't really care. He's in my team. Adeyemi's been playing out wide quite a bit. He has one assist and one goal, if I'm not mistaken. It's all over the place when you try and read through all the Dortmund changes, the people coming off the bench. Donny Marlon played a few games out wide. Sorry, Adeyemi's got two goals. Just want to make sure that is right. Yeah, he's got two goals and one assist. But Marlon's not been doing anything, really. Gio Reyna has been coming off the bench and getting returns. So he's got three goals from the bench in four games. Started today, got subbed off, didn't do anything. But the interesting player, I think really, really interesting player, is Julian Brandt, who has played every game, has two assists and two goals. So for his price, I think he's a really, really shrewd alternative to a Bellingham. If you had Royce, obviously Royce has only played a couple of games. He's been subbed off in both, and in both games, whoever came on for him scored. So I don't think he's really an option. I think your two midfielders for Dortmund are going to be Bellingham and Brand. Pick one, and I think it depends on your budget. And I'd absolutely go for Schlotterbeck or Guerrero, especially against Chelsea when I didn't realise how bad Chelsea were. Like, I know they're bad, like we watch Premier League all the time. I know what's going on there. But when you see it in front of you, it's abysmal. And I think at home, that could be a cricket score.
Oh, interesting.
In Dortmund, honestly, I mean, don't get us wrong. I think they could concede as many as the score. It is Dortmund. In these five games, they have conceded five goals, kept a couple of clean sheets. I think the Augsburg game really sort of skews it being 4-3. In the last four, though, only conceded two in four games, keeping two clean sheets. What are you making of Dortmund?
The bit that I find most interesting with Guerrero is that it seems that he will obviously the three assists in one match. We know that that's I don't know if it's like a flash in the pan type of performance. They won 5-1 on that, but Freiburg are they're not having the best of seasons. But then also today, this last game where he got another assist, he's just so lethal from set pieces. But it's not just that, it's also how Dortmund, they don't look as leaky as what they have been. So Bellingham is in my team as well. Gio Reyna, obviously, there was a lot of stuff in the media about him, and stuff like about the American team. So, yeah, I think with Dortmund, I think just the usual names that we all see: Bellingham, Guerrero, but there's a few couple that you've just named there that are really good shouts as well. I do think they'll
If
win this match. I think
yeah,
they'll win.
I I do as well. I mean, we'll get on to that in a moment. In terms of injuries, Meunier is the main injury concern. Clearly, it just doesn't matter that much. But we'll look at Chelsea. I've not written down their team. I imagine most people watching this follow the Premier League. But I just wanted to write down like the results in front of me and Potter's changing of formations. So in the last seven games, they played a 4-3-3, a 4-2-3-1, a 3-5-2, a 4-2-3-1, a 3-4-2-1, a 4-3-3, and a 4-2-3-1. They've drawn 1-1 with Nottingham Forest, got beaten 1-0 off Man City, got beaten 2-1 off Fulham, beat Crystal Palace 1-0, drew 0-0 with Liverpool, drew 0-0 with Fulham, and drew 1-1 with West Ham. If we look at who scored, not one player scored more than one goal. So they've actually scored since January started four goals. Sterling's got one. Sterling is injured. Don't know when he's back. Koulibaly's got one, the centre back, and that's his only goal for them, or second goal for them, I think.
He's got
I
a
think he's
volley.
worldy against Tottenham, didn't he? Havertz, is he back? Is he not back? Felix, obviously, they've brought him in from Atletico Madrid on loan. He got his 3-match suspension for getting sent off against Fulham. So this was sort of his game back, and he looks lively. He scored a really good goal today. I mean, only two players have actually got assists: Ziyech and Enzo. Looking at their injuries, Kante is expected back late Feb, which I think is going to massively help. But Mendy's out, and we don't know when until. Brought out for the season. Pulisic's got an unknown return date. Zachariah is expected to be back for this. Not that I've got any sort of visions of him playing. But yeah, Chelsea are just all over the place. People are trying to shoehorn players in all over the shop to the FPL teams because we've got some good fixtures. I don't think Dortmund's a good fixture. I don't want anything to do with them. And I actually think they are objectively bad.
Yeah,
So.
I think Chelsea only got in. I mean, they only got this far was because Milan went through that injury crisis when it was the two games against Chelsea. I think Chelsea are fortunate to be where they are,
Yeah.
and I honestly think that the atmosphere that they'll face in Germany is. I think it's going to be overwhelming for some of these players and. I think it, for Graham Potter, is this his first match in champion? No, he was in charge for
No,
the
he
last
got had
match.
a yeah, he had a few. He's had a few. Had a good few actually, yeah. So I think as far as I'm aware. Yeah.
Honestly, the World Cup has thrown off the timeline so much, but
Yes. Where we are in the darkest timeline.
I think that with Chelsea, it's too risky. It'll be handy when we see them in the next match day and we get to see the team sheet potentially at Stamford Bridge. But I think Dortmund will go through over the two legs and I hope that they do as well.
Yeah, one goal in three games. It's. 2-4.
It almost makes the defensive options Guerrero, was it starting back or
Shot
something?
back. I keep on
Yeah.
calling him Schlotter back. He's called Schlotter back.
But it makes them look like better options
Yes.
as well for their price point.
I can't believe I'm actually going to say this, Aaron, after all the shit I've given people over the years. So I'm going to come in and whisper it. But not only do I think. You might want to get a Dortmund defender. I think you might want to double up on Dortmund defense.
Say it and so.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody. I've let you all down. But Schlotterbeck, he's just a man on a mission at the minute. Everything seems to be going to him from set pieces. And Guerrero's on those. So just envisage this. Envisage this.
Look at his
Guerrero,
eyes.
close your eyes. Guerrero stood there, two arms up in the air. They make the little run. Schlotterbeck up above everyone else. Bullet header, top bin. Happens twice.
Captain return. What?
Captain, triple captain. Then And honestly, like it is a possibility. So yes, I think personally, I think a triple on Dortmund is a good idea. YouTube site. Whether that be Schlotterbeck and Guerrero plus Bellingham or Brandt, or whether you go Bellingham and Brandt and then either Schlotterbeck or Guerrero, and I'd probably go for Guerrero over Schlotterbeck personally. I don't know how I don't know how we got here, but we're here. What's the final score going to be for this game, Aaron?
2-0 to Dortmund, because I think that Chelsea win the second leg and it'll be close. I think it'll be worth watching, but I do think that Dortmund will go through based on what we've seen. So what I think will happen, 2-1 in the return leg to Chelsea, but then Dortmund will progress 3-2. 3-2.
Thanks, Mr. Aaron. Mr. Graydon, I'm going to go 3-0 Dortmund.
So you think
Don't know
tie or bet?
what's going to happen in the second leg. Don't really care. I think it's going to be 3-0 to Dortmund in the first. I'm going to batter Chelsea. And that is it for this preview. We will be back with another preview where we will finish off the games. As it stands, we actually don't know when that's going to be yet. But we hope that both previews will be out at the same time, roughly, give or take a few hours. Thank you so much for listening, as ever. You can find us on Twitter. We are at UCL Fantasy Pod. Aaron, what's your own personal Twitter?
At Aaron underscore Graydon.
I'll ask you an easier question next time, mate. Don't you worry. So you can find us on there. I will be on Fantasy Football Scouts Spaces with Lewis at FPL Reactions, so don't forget to join us for that. That'll be on Sunday night, around 7:30. Check out
If
when
you're
we
listening to
post
this
that.
later, the recording will be available, hopefully.
Yes. fingers crossed. We do have errors sometimes. Like I said, we'll be back for the next group of previews as well, so we're not done there. But what we would say is these were the games to target because we will have more information about the teams. We'll know whether players are injured or not. Obviously, there will be another round of fixtures before the following fixtures, and anything can happen in those. So these were the games that were most important that you need to be making the bulk of your squad out of. So thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed it. Get my words out eventually. And we shall see you next time. Take care now. Bye. We'll be right back.